Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 231, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 2022, National Scavenger Hunt Day.
Mm-hmm.
Go for a little National Scavenger Hunt.
Yeah.
Or just a regular scavenger hunt around your neighborhood, you know?
Yeah. Or, yeah, I mean, what was the last time you did a scavenger hunt? That wasn't... I feel like every scavenger hunt I did was when somebody tried to get me to go to their youth church. And they're like, hey, we're doing a fun scavenger hunt.
The last thing on the thing is the body of Christ. Or
the last thing is
salvation.
Wow. And all of those things you searched for brought you to the cross. And what you were looking for this whole time was salvation, kids. And you found it at the altar.
There it is. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You fill the three and dump it in the five, the five. You fill the three again and only dump in two, in two. You dump out the five and add remaining one. You add three more and end with four. And that's how you stop the bomb by the fountain from going off in the park.
Boom.
In Die Hard 3,
yep.
Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yep.
With Zeus,
yep.
Played by Sam Jackson. Shout out to Schweitz, on Twitter for that AKA to the tune of the Die Hard 3 score, as they pointed out, which is the ants go marching for some reason.
Yeah.
Is like kind of the central theme of that movie. And for, you know, memorializing the scene with the water riddle thing that turns out to be just like straight up a math problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually movies have riddles where, like, there's a single clever answer, and then, like, it hits you in the brain, and you're like, all right, and we're moving on. But that one, that's just, like...
That's math.
Math fundamentals.
Yep.
Just grinding out an answer. But very confounding moment.
Big fun.
And borderline stress dream. But I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Nacho fries ain't justified! We're ordering Bell on the Daily Zeit. Baja's Blast for girls and guys. Mexi Zai is back. We won the fight.
Okay, now that is killing in the name of. And that's me doing Zach because I said I need these Rage Against the Machine AKs, and people came through with them. And yes, Mexiza is back. The Mexican Pizza has returneth, just like Jesus. Okay, I hate to keep having this theme come back up, but it's coming back around again.
This I mean, let's be honest. This belt. Is a long audition for the Mexican pizza.
Right, exactly. I heard there was a Rage Against the Machine section that Dolly Parton was considering, and I was hoping to put. Look, I'll play the Tim 2K bass lines. Like, I could do that. I'll play my there part in the back. Yeah.
I love that for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The Mexican pizza musical AKs have been a highlight for me of doing this show, of knowing you, of my life. Anyways, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant stand-up comedian who you've seen on MTV, Comedy Central, NBC, True TV, E, Fuse, on Quibi.
Yeah.
If you've just been alive
for the historians,
not living under a rock since Quibi launched and the world wobbled on its axis. She's the host of one of my new favorite podcasts, our sister podcast, Dear Owen Wilson, in which she brings on a comedian to read a note to their childhood, or not childhood necessarily, but just celebrity obsesh based on her letter to Owen Wilson from when she was a kid. She's one of your favorites, one of our favorites. Yep. It's Blair Saki!
Hey, Blair!
Oh my God, what up, the Daily Zeitgeist?
What? Back like
God,
you never left.
What an intro. That brought a tear to my eye. Thank you. It feels so good to be back, like just getting in a warm jacuzzi.
Blair was aggressively yawning during the whole intro, I have to say.
Not close. Not even one yawn. No fucking way.
Pretending to sleep.
No.
Punk shoe.
What's new, Blair?
Yeah. Oh, God. It's so good to be back, for my soul feels revived, feels reinvigorated, back with my guys. Yeah. Everything's been pretty good, you know? I feel like we're just barraged every day, especially if you are an internet user, with all of the horrors of being alive. But in my personal life, you know, I really can't complain.
Okay. I mean, I like that.
How's the podcast been? Has it been everything you hoped and more? I know you were doing it for a long time as a live show.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always wondered, when I originally thought of the idea, I thought of it as a podcast, and I just didn't do it, and I became a live show, and now it's been really fun. We have 3 episodes out, but I've had so much fun. Most of the people that have been on have done the live show, and it's exciting that they're excited because they already know sort of what they're in for.
Right.
Yeah. It's a great premise. Great. It's a great show. It's so fun that we are, and other guests don't get any ideas, but we are going to devote a little section of the show to just talk celebrity obsessions today. Because.
Got a couple.
Yeah, we got a couple.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, honestly, you made this possible for me. So yeah, thanks for helping me with iHeartRadio, because it's a thrill.
It's a thrill to be working with you. And all right, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. Yes. Trump has abandoned his man in Georgia, David Perdue.
Like clockwork.
On the grounds of him no longer being a viable candidate, Trump was like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
People keep asking me about this David Perdue guy. No clue. Not
a clue.
So just stop. Yeah. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Jeff Bezos. Mm. We're going to talk about celebrity crushes, obsessions, all that, plenty more. But first, Blair, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history?
Okay, I'll be honest with you, and you know, these never make me sound good, but my last one was Florence Pugh, because I saw her frolicking in a bikini in Ibiza, a picture of her with a guy, and I was like, oh, did she break up with 50-year-old Zach Braff? You know, 24-year-old Florence Pugh. And so I really just wanted to know, but it was confirmed, no, they're still together. She was just, you know, having a day with one of her friends.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's you and Kate Raft are... Kate Raft tweeted today, they were like, yo, I just got this feeling what was it? It says, I woke up this morning and felt a distinct sense of knowing, a feeling, an indescribable sensation. I think Zach Braff and Florence Pugh have broken up.
Wow.
So I just read that and I was like, yo, okay, something Maybe y'all are seeing something that might not be there.
Yeah, it was just a picture, so it was just a question. I wasn't like, oh, they broke up, but I was like, I wonder what's going on. Maybe there's been a change. But yeah. You know, we all have these karmic contracts, and some of us need to go through the experience of dating a man twice our age. And you know, I support her whatever she needs to do.
Shout out.
Yeah, man. If I had to deal with rumors of infidelity or my marriage ending every time I was frolicking on a beach with a friend in Ibiza, like that would be tough. It would be hard for me.
I would not be able to deal with that. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, just let me frolic in Ibiza.
Yes.
Please. Just doing me.
Well, that's cool. What's something you think is overrated?
Guys, I'm just going to say it. You know what's overrated? And I hope you guys are all listening to me out there. All you way too vocal eating ass people. Okay? That's what's overrated. This shit has become like Beanie Babies in the 90s. This is so played out all the time. It's like, this is like by Felicia. Please stop talking about it. Leave something for your bedroom. I am sick of your talk. This guy, I said something about that, and he's like, oh, you can't silence me. You can't silence me.
Ooh,
I was like, yes,
so we're talking
I can.
About being vocal about eating ass.
Yeah, I don't care if you want to eat ass. Just shut the fuck up about it. Oh, my God. You don't wear your
bait. You're saying like vocal ass eating. Like
yeah,
people
they're talk-
who eat loud.
They're talking about it all the time. And I hear like people just constantly bragging about it, and it happens a lot, I think, in the stand-up comedy world. And I'm like, honey, you need a new premise, babe. Like, even if anyone loudly bragging about that, at first one, my bullshit meter goes off a little bit. I'm like, I don't know if you're talking about it that much, if you're really doing it. I don't know. It kind of has that vibe of like, I have a girlfriend, she just goes to a different school type of thing.
Eat her ass every day, every morning. That's
yeah.
What, yeah.
Also, in
That's
a way, party.
Started.
So part of you is like, oh, you think you talk like you're about that life, but you're not really about that life. How many ass eating posers do you think are out there? Like, if you had to give a fraction of all the vocal people who are into analingus. How many of them are
analingus,
like, are you just
I've never
saying
heard that
this
before.
For a bit?
I want to go like 60%.
60% are talking about it and have never done it?
Yeah, or it's just it takes away the mystique of it. Like, even if someone else is out there doing it and they actually are doing it, just talking about it all the time is just so, it takes like the coolness out of it. It's a try hard vibe.
Wow. Mm.
Eating ass? How about eating up the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
I'm right. I mean.
Saved.
It is one of those ideas that has become a meme, and I feel like I hear about it more from people who are talking about it, like old people talking about it, than the people who are actually doing it. It's like, but that's just because I hang out with mostly like people over the age of 60. That's just
I'm just like, oh, it's overdone now. Well, yeah. It's too much.
Right.
Maybe I'm a boomer.
Well, oh, yeah, wow. But you never know.
I mean, are you watching the Staircase?
Oh, you know I am.
HBO. I mean, boomers eat ass too.
Oh God, that guy's so sick. Colin Firth is like, I mean, because I watched 10 minutes of the documentary on Netflix just because I wanted to see like the accuracy and I was like, oh my God, he is nailing this guy so like cellularly.
Yes. Yeah. The performance is absolutely wild. It's like a dead on impression, but then as you watch the show, it like reveals layers about the guy that like the documentary doesn't, but like that you're like, yeah, that's probably true. Like that's, yeah, right. It's full of just really incredible performances. One of which is the performance of Analingus by Colin Firth on his wife, who he soon
oh yeah, I forgot about
murders.
That part. You're right.
Yeah, so not just the
Staircase
are out
is
here
really
too.
In the zeitgeist.
Yeah,
and you get a sense like it's a ass eating scene that also you're like, how do they come like that? Because he's a very, you know, strange dude who at times seems like he could be like a little bit insufferable. And she's like very straight laced, seems like just like, you know, ass kicker at the office type. And that scene really brought together a lot for me where I was like, oh, OK, they have just like a wild sex life. And like, yeah, that's a big part of like what brought them together.
By the way, that solidified my watching that show where I'm like, okay, two staircase murders. And it also just confirmed to me that, like, no murderer believes they committed murder. I'm like, this man, it feels in my heart like he fundamentally doesn't believe that he did it. You know?
Right.
Mm-mm.
Well, he's whispered her name 1,000 times in his heart, as he confusingly said in his only statement before going into prison.
But isn't that crazy, though? Like, you distinctly get the vibe like he doesn't believe he murdered her in his own head.
I don't.
Like, he convinced himself otherwise.
You're full on he did it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I haven't finished the series and I haven't watched the documentary, but yes, bitch. Okay. I think I'm like, well, they show like all those lacerations on her head where they're like, this was from being a weapon.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, I fully believe he did it, and it's obvious like half the time, and then the other half I'm like, but maybe.
Kids and the whole large like blended family was like very tragic to me, especially those two girls. It crushed my spirit.
Oh my God.
Made me really sad.
What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated. Oh, I'm going to have to go with Peaches, like the singer. I saw her at Just Like Heaven, or them, I'm not sure, at Just Like Heaven this weekend. And I was just amazed. I was like, oh, this person is a fucking rock star. It was incredible. It was like a very inspiring performance to me. Also underrated, my dad seeing me do stand-up comedy for the first time last weekend.
Wow.
Whoa. How was what was that like?
It was really good. It was like a very heart cleansing experience for me. My parents had never seen me do comedy. And my dad, I would headline the Irvine Improv, and my dad came and I brought him on stage after and I cried after.
Oh, wow. I feel like you and I saw that other bit you posted about, you know, being raised by your dad, who's a very manly man.
Yeah.
And how that affected you. Was he there? Was that that show?
Yeah, it was the first time. This was last week.
And you did that. And what was that like for him, seeing you like use your, you know, your experiences of being his daughter, like on the stage, and people being like, ha, 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 I love this shit.
I think he liked it. Like, I was way less worried about that stuff because I don't say anything mean about my family that I wouldn't say in front of them. And I don't really like mean spirited anything in general. Like, I don't like mean things, but it was like just like sexual stuff, which I only have like a little, but I was like, couldn't believe I was saying that in front of my dad. That was like horrifying because you never like write that stuff thinking it's, you know, stand-up comedy.
You have to say that in front of your parents.
Yeah, you're not meant to say those things in front of your parents, but that's love, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, you know, I could look at that objectively, and I thought that analingus bit was funny.
He's like, analingus is overrated.
Ew, tired sick. Of it.
What and then like in the interaction since he's seen you do stand up, has there been, is he offering like proposing bits like my dad does sometimes?
I did make a very strong disclaimer after I thanked like all my childhood friends and like all my parents' friends. None of them had really seen me do comedy. I've tried to keep my life separate from this whole like performing life separate from them this entire time. It was like the first time I was experiencing integration between my two lives. But I said up front, I go, and I just want to say, by purchasing a ticket, you have therefore agreed to never bring up anything that I say to me again. So no one's allowed to approach me about anything I say.
Right.
Perfect.
That's smart. Perfect.
I love hearing those stories where people are like, my parents saw me do what I do really well for the first time, and it went well, turns out.
Yeah, it was one of the best nights of my life, honestly, just because there had been so many years like of just like wondering, and like it was just very crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, Shout out to the supportive parents out there and to you for
bringing it all back around.
Life is crazy.
Right, right, right.
And what they had seen your stand up like on online before, presumably, right?
Yes, but never told me that they did. So I really didn't know until one time, like, we were eating steak and my dad said something like, quoted one of my, or like, we know Blair doesn't like her steak well done. And my face just got like red hot, like burned off my face because he was like quoting an inappropriate bit of mine online. And that was the first time I read, and we never talked about it again, like anything. So yeah.
I feel like from your stand up, I'm just that anecdote. I feel like I have a clear idea of your dad. Just a person who is constantly eating a piece of meat of one
yes!
form or another.
The Brad Pitt of dads. But yes! Something yeah. like eating a chicken bone or something. But do you have, like, because you, like, with your family, what's the thing? I always feel like anybody who's a performer in comedy, like, your family is like, you know who you got it. You know who you get it from, right? You know who you're just like. You know where you get that. You want to be all funny all the time. You get it from so-and-so. Who do they always say that you're... You get, where do you get it from, Blair?
Well, my dad says I get it from him, that he loves to say that, of course. He is, I would only say this behind his back, he's extremely funny, like, and like intentionally funny. He's like incredible funny. And my mom's really funny too, but like more in this kooky like way where you're like, wow. So I would say mom. I'm definitely a mix. I would never like give credit to one.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Like my parents would always be like, well, that ain't me.
See, that's humility. That's nice. Yeah.
They're always like, it's your grandfather. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that makes more sense. Like, very gregarious old man. So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about some news and then celebrity obsessions.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha. Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
And we're back. Yeah. And so we're heading into, it will be happening today, right?
The Georgia
primary in Georgia. And David Perdue, the losing former senator from Georgia, is kind of stepped up to run for governor. And it has not gone well.
No.
Just as his last one didn't, right? Like, he just, well, they really want to vote for a Republican, but he's absolutely devoid of charisma and has shitty politics.
You got a wooden block carving of a senator up there, and you told them to have the, you know, charisma of a winning candidate. It's not going to work. And also, you know, we talked about this all the time. David Perdue is only running against Brian Kemp because Brian Kemp wouldn't rat fuck the election in Georgia for Donald Trump. That's the only reason. And Trump was like, okay, you like that? How about this? I'm going to put a wholly undesirable candidate to run against you in the primary. Okay. And sadly, David Perdue had to go up there because he's such a rubber stamp, like, puppet for Trump. He couldn't say any of his own ideas. For example, and we pointed out this last time, one of the debates he did with Brian Kemp when they're talking about who's going to be governor of the fucking state. This was Brian Kemp's opening statement as he's talking to the voters of Georgia.
First off, folks, let me be very clear tonight. The election in 2020 was rigged and stolen.
Okay, thank you. Now, that's your opening statement, which means
to be governor.
Yeah, to be governors. Just be like, I love Trump. And you know what? I think a lot of people said, well, this is interesting because you're really going to pit people's loyalty. Like, if they're loyal to Trump to a T, then they should absolutely be voting for David Perdue because that's the person he's picking. But it's clear that no one gives a fuck about Trump's grievances like he does, because right now Perdue is getting smashed in the polls like by 30 points, 60 to 28 going in favor of Kemp. But Perdue, he says, don't worry. That's not that big of an L. This is what he said in response to being asked about his low polling. Quote, hell no, I'm not down 30 points. We may not win Tuesday, but I guarantee you we are not down 30 points. That's right, because you're down 32 points.
Right.
Okay. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I think the big takeaway here is like that what Brian Kemp could do in his capacity at governor far outweighs just Trump yelling and screaming from the sidelines like, hey, vote for this guy that I picked, because Brian Kemp, you know, enacted a gas tax holiday to ease the burden on people's wallets when they go to the pumps. So, and many people be like, wow, thank you, the governor of the state versus David Perdue. He also, like, in some real, like, you know, gangster type shit, started, like, he got Perdue's cousin, Sonny Perdue, who used to be the governor of Georgia. He's basically, like, trying to keep a lot of his allies from being able to back him, right? So he got basically this dude, Sonny Perdue, essentially got him to become the chancellor of the university system of Georgia, like, recently. And people were like, oh, wow. So maybe you're not going to be coming out to support your cousin, David Perdue, who's running. And then also, like, another state representative who went, you know, who bit the hand of Kemp. He basically gerrymandered the maps again and said, oh, yeah, you don't even have a seat anymore, homie. Good luck with that. So he got, you know, there was a lot going on, but you saw the power of being in office versus merely a Trump endorsement here.
People are treating this like an indictment of Trump's like continued influence. It feels a little bit like a heat check, like a player in an NBA game who's like really like hit 5 threes in a row and then like shoots from midcourt. And like,
just to see,
yeah, right. It's like a complete air ball, but they're like, sorry, I thought I had like bent the rules of reality and somehow everything was going to just go in. So I don't know, like, Miles, you have a better mind for this shit than me, but like, do you feel like this is a sign of, you know, his waning influence? Or
I don't know.
Support?
I mean, there is like this weird thing where, you know, there were plenty of his picks that got through primaries last week. And yeah. So in that sense, you're like, well, you know, he might not be winning them all, but he definitely wins a lot of them by swooping in. But I think the bigger takeaway is more of like that, less than the people being still on board with Trump's 2020 grievances. I think a lot of the voters, they've moved on from that. And it's now just metastasized into being less about Trump and being more about how do we make libs cry with the most cruel fucking laws we can create. That seems to be more energizing than being like, they stole the election from Trump, because now you see where all of the energy is going to, whether it's overturning Roe or these transphobic bills or don't say gay bills, whatever. That seems to be energizing a lot of people. And you can tell the party knows that, because that's how they're chumming the waters again with that stuff. Yeah. They're off that 2020 was stolen shit. They're like, nah, man, most people, I think, have accepted that L, and they're like, okay, then fuck it. It's about making as shit as fucked up as possible. But really, you know, we're just watching these, like, we're watching fascism parade around when they're like aggressive conservative values. It's just,
but they, yeah, but they don't see it that way. Like, it's like the same way of the murderers. Like, they don't see themselves as murderers. They think they're like, it's like going back to the Middle Ages of like the Crusades. It's like when anyone is doing something in the name of, you're like, oh, you're killing people in the name of like morality or whatever. And it's like, right, just politics with this extremism that just seems to be going just rapidly catching fire.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Right. And we're combining like partisan politics with like toxic American ego that doesn't understand how much in the wrong direction the ego will pull you. And I think in this version, again, like, because they can't carve out an electoral win at the moment, it's just now about looking at the powers that they do have. That's why you see people like this guy, Doug Mastriano, who won the primary for governor in Pennsylvania. This guy is a full on, like, this guy, like, if he's governor in Pennsylvania in 2024, he will do whatever the fuck Donald Trump wants. Like, that's how he got here. So we're seeing a lot of these people now who are just all in on this thing. Be like, all right, y'all get that one, because the next time we're just going to fucking shut the gates and we'll see you try and have any kind of fair election when we have all these other people in these roles that can completely fuck up the process.
I think politics is so scary. Like, I honestly think there are just as many psychos as there are in stand-up comedy. I'm not kidding, because like, even if you start out with pure of heart in politics, it just seems there's no way to keep that. Like, I don't know. It's just, I feel the ego involved in these people is like, they forget what they're even doing there. It's scary. It's like this like defeating, they just want to like conquer, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like the people who last are the ones who like have a unflappable urge to power. And like, that is the main motivating factor, which like works out in the long run, because if that's the thing that, you know, you're adaptable, as long as the only thing you care about is power, then you can just keep rat fucking and, you know, harming people, but like finding ways to get power without ever like really exposing yourself. Like,
yeah,
that's the new model of like in Europe and with Trump, like that's the new model of dictator, is like, yes, less coherence in terms of ideology and more coherence in terms of, or and more just consistency in terms of, they'll do anything to stay in power, and they just like follow the hate because they see that as like the lifeblood that they're just gonna, right, kind of right.
Yeah, not like that's like presenting a new idea to anybody or anything, but it is, it's when there was the old era of politics of like Reagan and stuff where you didn't talk about who you voted for and everyone was just polite and Republicans were polite to Democrats and Democrats were polite to Republicans, even if you completely disagree and or hated them, like the public presentation was like of politeness or respect or some sort, not respect, but I don't know what the word is. But now it seems like presidents and stuff, especially like the Trump era and stuff, it's getting back into like that old timey, like monarchy type of thing where it's just like, fight and conquer, present the other side as evil and must be defeated at all costs, like forgetting the entire mission of, you know, caring for the people.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the biggest issue is the majority of people don't enter Congress with that sentiment or that feeling. You know, most right? people, they grow up in like generational wealth and they know it's like, man, I kind of need to be the governor in order to protect the family business. That's kind of right. how this is going to work. Like, I'm going to might have to get into politics so I can protect this thing or further the interests of this industry. And because some people, you know, I think if we get the conjunction junction, the Schoolhouse Rock version of politics, we think, and the people go into Congress to represent their district. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe 5% of people who get into politics actually think that. Most other people, it's clear what the benefit is of being in politics. You can help your stocks. You can help other companies. You can get fast-tracked into a very lucrative field of like lobbying. There's so much money to be made just by being in Congress, like for a little bit, that I think a lot, it's like almost like looking at how comedians look at Upright Citizens Brigade, where it's like, well, shit, if I get into UCB and I get in that place, then I might get on an NBC sitcom down the road or some shit like that. Like it's not always seen as the be all end all to people. It offers a lot of these other opportunities. And I think that's why we find ourselves in a place where like, well, we're the people that care about the people. And it's like, they're in a very small minority.
Yeah.
And
in that's fact, scary to
they're
think
constantly
about
shout it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, something we like to say on this podcast is democracy dies in darkness. We say that all the time. And fortunately there's one brave, bald man, shredded these days.
Hey, thank
holding
you so
a
much,
lantern.
Man. I've been working on, you know, the Peloton.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. That's yeah. it. Talk to
oh, wait,
you
who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Jeff Bezos.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah. Fuck that guy.
Yeah. It was a tough one for billionaires last week on Twitter in particular.
Dang.
Yeah. Elon.
Oh, my God. I'm having such a weird one. Elon.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Elon much, but Jeff Bezos. He got in his Twitter bag last week because there was a sequence of events that I think was really alarming for an oligarch, which was step one. Joe Biden had the Amazon like worker slash organizers welcomed them to the White House. And he was like, whoa, why is he talking to that person who's trying to cut down on my bottom lines? What the fuck is this going on? And then we also had a moment where Joe Biden was saying, like, you know, to be able to combat all of this rising prices and stuff, we actually need to start taxing these corporations and the wealthier people. That's how we're going to offset some of this shit, because that's what we're drawing the line to. The rising prices isn't because of me or this other shit. There's a lot of corporate greed that's affecting the higher prices. And this is a guy, again, Jeff Bezos, who avoided paying $5 billion in taxes last year, just couldn't handle it anymore. So he started like retweeting op-eds from the Washington Post from this one.
See, staff
that's
writer. Impartial. That's just evidence right there.
Oh, my op-ed? This op-ed?
Yeah. Retweeting this op-ed from the Washington Post. What is it? They can't make that shit up.
Can't make this up. Listen to this person. They basically said it's a conspiracy theory. And that corporate greed is somehow influencing rising costs. And it's actually those COVID stimulus checks for the poor people that is causing the rising costs. Let's not slip that up. And again, a lot of people point to the fact that the Economic Policy Institute has plenty of data that says over half of the price increases in this country over the last couple of years can be directly attributed to larger corporate profit margins. There's no like, oh, what do we do, bro? It's COVID. We're a multinational corporation. Like, help us by
you know, going along with these higher prices and not saying anything. So it's, I think what the real problem here is that we have Jeff Bezos, who, you know, for someone who's like complaining about government spending, none of these op-eds he's retweeting talk about the fact that he's right now begging Congress for a massive corporate tax break, and also got like a $10 billion federal contract, and is also lobbying for more space projects from the federal government. It's like, well, okay, so you know when you can accept some money from the government, and then other times when they're saying things like your greed is contributing to these massive price hikes, then it's a problem.
Interesting. And we do have, like, we've played audio from, you know, like earnings calls from the people who run big corporations being like, yeah, so we like raised prices and people paid them. And so that's like giving us more money, which is fucking so dope.
That's so like, sick, dude.
Oh my God. This so is like look, that's records. We're putting up records.
Dude.
And like, this is the time when everybody's supposed to be like hurting. We're putting up records, dude, just by raising prices. It's fucking so dope.
They're just doing it, dude. It's like, I remember like when I used to sell lemonade to my elderly grandma, and I told her one cup was $10, and she fucking bought like 8 of them, bro. She's also senile, dude. She's kind of dealing with some cognitive impairment. But dude, that's kind of where we're at.
I saw an opportunity.
Dude, yeah. Exactly.
That's our, like, except for the Arizona iced tea guy.
Right.
He's a good man.
So this is all like, you know, for years, right? Jeff Bezos and the people at the Post, and not to say that working at the Washington Post, like you're shilling for Jeff Bezos, because there's plenty of great journalism that comes out of there. What the problem is here is that his insistence, right? He's like, I don't meddle in the day to day or give edicts on like what people need to be writing about or not writing about. But when you, the richest people in the world who owns a paper, and then you retweet someone's column, I'd imagine the other people who work there go, okay, so he's liking that shit, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he likes that when you talk spicy about raising corporate taxes and that this isn't a function of greed, that it's a fact of reckless government spending. Okay.
And their bosses see that shit too. You know, and, like maybe as an op-ed columnist, it's pretty transparent, but the bosses who hire these op-ed columnists, they see that. They know that this person is ultimately in charge of, you know, their continued livelihood.
Right. Exactly. And that is going to have an effect, undoubtedly. And this is a thing I remember in 2015, there's this right around the time he got the paper, there was this anecdote that was just saying, you know, even he may not meddle, but he does check in, quote, every 2 weeks, Jeff Bezos holds an hour-long conference call with the executives at The Washington Post. Twice a year, the managers fly to Seattle for strategy sessions with the Amazon.com founder. And every so often, they find a reader complaint in their inbox forwarded without comment from Jeff@Amazon.com.
Huh.
We heard about this at Amazon, too, right? It sounds like a very similar, hands-off but hands-on type of thing. And
Amazon was very hands on. I thought they, there was just like people, just like grown people, grown ups, just like weeping openly.
That's
like
right.
In there. Like just that wasn't like a thing that happened once. That was the soundtrack when you worked there, was like sobs from grown people who were like high powered executives at other companies and have been doing this forever. And it's just like, they drive you so hard. If you don't respond to an email in 3 minutes, they're on your ass and noticing.
Yeah. And another quote 2 years later, when they asked, hey, like, why do you like the Washington Post? Like, why was it important for you to buy it? Quote, it is the newspaper in the capital city of the most important country in the world. The Washington Post has an incredible role to play in this democracy and downfall of it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, again, this is why, you know, we're at an age where so many of the, you know, venues for like mass distributed information are controlled by oligarchs who, whether or not they're being overt about it, or in this case, it's pretty overt, you know, putting their thumb on the scales to be like, and this is where the discourse should be, not about talking about corporate profiteering, because that's not a problem. But I don't know how long people will be able to avoid that.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some celebrity crushes, obsessions. Mine might be another
shark.
Muscular bald person. So we'll see.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie? Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones? Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change? Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Today, more than ever, we're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical billing expert, finding savings can seem impossible. And who has the time? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your family's insurance and reviews your medical claims as they come in from your healthcare providers. Then, HealthLock's technology flags and alerts you to any errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud to help you and your family save. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save more than $130 million. Saving on medical bills starts with knowing where to look. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden medical bill errors. To save, visit healthlock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
And we're back. And all right. So, Blair, the show is so good. Dear Owen Wilson.
Thank you so much.
First three episodes are up.
Yeah, that means so much to me.
But these are incredibly talented people who you're having on who are like unreasonably obsessed with people like Justin Bieber in the case of Rosebud Baker, Henry Cavill for Gabrus. And you then proceed to attack their souls in your cross-examination on the subject of, you know, their letter and their feelings for the celebrity. But the fandom is just, I feel like this is true for a lot of people I know, that like our fandoms are like the most like basic thing about us.
It's just like it's pure.
Yeah, it's so pure, and it's, yeah, like Rosebud Baker being like a Justin Bieber stan is not, you know,
what you would imagine.
No, not at all.
I know, she's so soft about him. It's very peculiar.
But so this idea came from, did you found an old letter you had written to Owen Wilson?
No. So I wrote him a letter. I was not a child, by the way, which is what makes this even weirder. In 2007, I wrote him a letter after he had that little whoopsie-doo, you know, and I was genuinely, it was like at the height of Wedding Crasher fame, and I was just like in awe of him. I loved him. I was just like, there's no one like him on earth. And I was just like, oh no, I just need to know, I need him to know that he's so special and to tell him I hope he feels better. And I was just like, how could someone this loved not feel loved or whatever, or not know how, I wanted him to know how loved he was. So I mailed him a letter. Who knows, whatever address I got off the internet. Yeah. So who knows if
Owen
Wilson
at Hollywood.
received it. Maybe it was sent to like an agent or manager's office or something. I don't know. But, you know, it all did come full circle. I just thought later, like, you know, I see so much stand-up and I love stand-up, but I love getting to know comedians in other ways where they get to be funny, not in their act. And it is crazy because Owen Wilson does know about the show. So I want to have him on eventually.
Do a bad impression.
I know he knows because Demi Moore came and she texted him right in front of me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, and was she like, I'm texting him now?
Yes, she showed me the text. She showed me.
Oh, Demi. Wait, yeah. What was Demi Moore doing? Wait, so how did she get involved too?
She came 2 months in a row to the show. It was really sweet.
Hoping to hear her name?
Yeah, like she came because she and Martha Kelly were doing a movie together, and like she brought the whole cast of the movie. So like there was a lot of people, fun people there, and she came right up to me, hugged me after, like was so nice. And then her daughter said, I want to be on the show. So I had her daughter, Scout, on the next month. So she came again, and Scout wrote a letter to Ted Danson, which was really funny. And I really got to exercise my interviewing skills because I was like, I have to get enough out of her that it's like I didn't be too soft. But but I also had to toe the line where I like want to be totally respectful because I don't know. I do. It is a little between two ferns-ish. I warn every guest. I'm like, it's a wild interview process and you will be caught off guard. You will go places. You just got to buckle up.
Yeah. Damn. How did it end up? With Scout in tears or
No, she had the time of her life. She was such a pro. I did ask her, like, you know, because I do have a private detective named Lucian Wickles who conducts a lot of my research and is responsible for all of the questions of harsher, more direct nature. And me, I'm completely absolved and innocent. And so she, you know, he asked, like, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And some certain questions we got to the bottom of. She was really good, though.
Wow. Okay.
Wait, so why Owen Wilson for you? Like, what about Owen Wilson inspired your celebrity crush? You know, was it purely because you're like, this guy is a fucking comedic genius. He's on fire. And he's kind of got a, like, a wonky look that I'm into.
I'll be straight up, I love a fucked up nose, but also I just think that there's something about him where he's just being himself. And like, I feel like he's just straight up being himself. And that's way too reductive of a description. But like, I'm like, if you could pop that hard, if you could have that sort of mega star power just by completely being your resting self, I don't know. I think it's kind of amazing and charming. Mm. And I don't think there's anyone like him.
Yeah. Mm. He was a good writer. He co-wrote two classic movies and then was just like, I don't really need to do this anymore with Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bottle Rocket, I guess.
He was nominated for an Oscar or won an Oscar.
Damn.
Yeah, I should know
Jack,
that.
Jack, who is your, what celebrity are you obsessed with?
So you mentioned, like, sexual, athlete, musician. All of mine are in one.
Oh,
and that
wow.
is Bruce Willis, one of my favorite musicians. One of my favorite athletes. No, I picked Bruce Willis because it's the only person who I considered a movie genre unto themselves. Like Bruce Willis movies was my favorite movie genre from like the age of 8 to like 13. Die Hard was my favorite movie from the time I saw it at like 8 years old until like Pulp Fiction and then 12 Monkeys after that. It was always a Bruce Willis movie. And like, I don't really know why that is.
He's got star power, Jack.
I even liked Hudson Hawk, bro.
Were you, aside from consuming all the work, did you like get interested outside of that? Like, you're like, oh, his
not
favorite
really.
Thing is this. He came from. No. Here. Okay. Did you ever get into any, were you ever interested in anybody to that extent?
The one thing I knew about him was that like, he didn't want to be like, he didn't want to be an actor. He wanted to be a famous like blues musician.
Yeah.
Like John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd before him. He was like, I want to just be like a famous blues singer and dancer, but that's not a thing. So like being a famous like blues harmonica singer, like at least not on the level of fame that I think he was striving for.
So he saw John Popper in Blues Travel and he's like,
right.
Said I did this acting shit.
Like John Popper was like one of the world's best harmonica players. Bruce Willis was just trying to like make a voice like that. And, my fandom did not follow through to Bruno, his nom de plume in the music world. Yeah. But yeah.
He has an inherent masculinity, though, that is, like, you know, unmatched.
Yeah, I think there's, like, something about him that reminds me of my dad that I was just realizing today, like, as I was, it's like, oh, I probably, like, have, like, some dad stuff tied in there.
Yeah.
Like, that's mainly why, like, I was, like, curious. I was, like, because there's not, like, other, beyond star power, which a lot of people have, like, the fact that he would have been the star of, like, my three favorite movies for like the time when of my life when I was falling in love with movies is always like, I never really stopped and like looked at it, but
right.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some dad shit going on there.
Mm, okay.
How about you, Miles? I feel like you've got answers for days here.
That's what I said. It could be athlete, sexual awakening, or musician.
Give the top three.
Sexual awakening, Tyra Banks.
Uh-huh.
Obsessed with Tyra Banks.
Oh my God. She was like incredible.
Between like when she was on Fresh Prince and then when she was in Higher Learning and all these other things, I was like, oh my God, I love Tyra Banks. And I remember my dad, he was shooting like a magazine cover or something. He was doing a photo shoot with her and I begged him to miss school so I could see Tyra Banks in person. And he was like, no, fool. It's like in the middle of your school day. Like,
hilarious.
What am I going to tell your teachers? Like, hey, man, he needs to miss class because he needs to go thirst after Tyra Banks. Like, no. Yeah. But he did, like, you know, there wasn't really video back then, but he got me like, he had her sign a picture for me. I took that. I had that shit in my binder. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like the see-through binders and you could put pictures in it. I was like, and Tyra Banks signed that to me and she put a heart over the eye in Miles. Okay. Self-esteem through the roof.
My sexual awakening was Paul Abdul, 1988.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dancing with that cat.
These are good choices, honestly. These are really good choices.
That Cold Hearted Snake video was foundational to.
She could move, babe.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. 100%. And then, like, musician, oh, I love Pharrell because Pharrell was like this light skinned dude who people thought was Asian. So, as me being like a half black, half Asian person, I never really, like, Tiger Woods was kind of it. But then, like, there was this cool guy, Pharrell. People were like, you kind of remind me of Pharrell. I'm like, okay, that might be a little reductive, but I'll take it. And because I was a musician, too, and he started in marching band like I did, and I also liked making beats. I was like, this guy's giving me a fucking roadmap for the fucking future, and all his beats are fire. And I basically, I mean, I to this day, I know so much about the Neptunes and their
Pharrell's
history
so production. Cool. I love Pharrell.
What does that say about us? You know, what do you think about me being a Tyra and him being a Paula Abdul? What would you gather from that, Blair?
I'd say I know two guys with incredible taste is all I see. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I remember seeing Tyra Banks in like the Victoria's Secret catalogs that came to my house, like for my mom or whatever. And I would just be like, oh, God, how could someone be so beautiful? Like, it would, she, I was like, she's like, she's so beautiful, it like hurts.
Yeah. 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 No, and I think that felt like that, despite me being a pubescent child, I was just like, this is, how could someone look like this?
I'm I
like,
know.
This is the be but all I mean, end that, all. There,
it's like a freak of, like, you know, like Megan Fox. You're like, okay, how is that real? You know,
okay,
it's like,
right. Really?
Oh, what?
Okay, fine. You weren't alive in 2008.
I'm saying that's my reaction to Megan
yeah,
Fox.
Oh, is, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? This is bullshit. This is too
Paula
much.
Abdul forever.
Yeah. Paula Abdul, incredible. Like one of the best dancers of all time. Amazing catalog. Amazing.
Who was the athlete you were obsessed with, Blair?
An athlete for me when I was young or?
When you were young. Yeah. Or like a seminal, foundational athlete obsession that you had.
I mean, like, I loved volleyball players, obviously. I wanted to be a professional beach volleyball player, so I loved, like, Holly McPeak and
Missy
and, you know, all these people that probably no one on earth has ever heard of.
Douglas.
I loved Serena Williams. I still love Serena Williams to this day. I'm like, oh my God, she's a bad bitch. And, like, she has this husband, too. When I think about this all the time, she has a husband who I literally just would do anything on earth for her. Like, just thinks the like sun sets and rises with her. It's incredible. That has nothing to do with her sports, but she deserves it all. And then men, I liked so many weird, like when I was young, I loved all the little guys, like little guys in big player sports. Like I loved Steve Nash. I thought he was incredible.
Was that because you were like a smaller player amongst the super tall, like middle blockers of your volleyball
team? Yes, of course. Right, of course. Like I love seeing like any little guy, like, you know, Reggie Bush or Maurice, what's his name? Drew, is it Miles?
Yep, MD20.
I love like tiny little running backs and point guards.
Right.
Yeah.
I was a little weird. I liked a guy by the name of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, okay, hipster.
Yeah.
Oh my God, hipster Jack. Oh God.
I was into him before the championships.
Yeah.
Like that's how into it I was.
That's not even true. I was into him like the season they won the championship.
I was into it when he was only on vinyl.
Yeah, that's when he was cool. I was into it when like he was listening to those songs on headphones and with an umbrella. Do you know that picture? Anyways,
I don't know if you were if you remember that one Animal Collective tour where he was like opening for them and like people were like, who is this guy? And I was like, he's next, dude. He's next. Right. But people just want to forget about that.
Yeah, but other young, I think like my main ones too were like Gwen Stefani and TLC. Because, you know, when you're in middle school is when you're in that deep, and high school probably too, but like middle school, you're really into that deep like fandom where you can like, you just put these people on giant pedestals, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And deck out your locker and binder with it. So mine was Wu-Tang Clan, Tyra Banks, and probably Eddie Jones or Nick Van Exel.
Eddie Jones. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Deep cut. You know, back then I was like, oh. Eddie, please give me life. But it's always interesting. Again, like you're saying, like you can I think in a way instantly you can find common ground with people and be like, wow, you were into that. Like that was your celebrity obsession. And I already feel like I'm knowing you better.
Miles, have you ever like dug deep and like reached out to a celebrity or like seen a celebrity and done? Like I remember when I was 7 years old, I saw Howard Johnson, the baseball player, the Mets baseball player.
Right.
And I was like, I just remember going up to him and being like, hey, man, I'm such a huge fan. And he like, I could tell he didn't believe me, which is true because I didn't even like the Mets.
That's
but like,
so
I was
funny.
Like, wanted him to think that I liked him. And yeah, he was kind of a dick considering that I was seven.
Oh, shit.
But I didn't think that at the time. I was just like, I should just be true to myself. I shouldn't tell these Mets players that I like them. Fucking Howard Johnson. Guy's a hack.
It's confusing in this business when to say something. At this point, sometimes when I meet someone like I've loved a long time, like I really have to feel the vibe where I'm like, if we connect first or something, and then it just comes out and it's authentic. But then otherwise, I feel like, you know, these people are always getting this shit But then at the same time, what I like about this is that no matter how famous you are or who you are, like, everyone's a fan of someone, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I, man, the time, it's funny. The one time I did a thing like you, Jack, where I just, because the person was so famous, I was like, fuck, I don't know what else to say to them aside from, I'm a big fan, was when I met the wrestler Kane. when I, when, but I was really waiting to meet The Rock. But Kane came out and I was like, oh man, big fan, big fan. And he's like, thanks. And he didn't have his mask on. Everyone's like, oh my God, Kane doesn't have his mask on. And he's like, very normal looking guy. But really, I was like, man, get the, where's the fucking Rock, bro? Like, get
Kane,
him out
could
here.
Can you please step aside?
Yeah.
And you then, just practiced your like vulnerable, like, I'm your biggest fan.
I'm your biggest fan, Dwayne. Him. He's like, I'm Kane. I'm like, yeah, I mean,
Quain,
The Rock Johnson. What am I doing? But the other time, there is this band called Warpaint that I really like. And they, I was, when I used to work at concerts, I remember I was working a bar at this concert. It was a Portishead concert. And the whole group Warpaint was there to see Portishead. But they were all together, like, as one. And I was like, oh, my God, they're, like, right here. And I was like managing the bar at the time. I was like, the drinks are on me. And I was like, I'm a really huge fan of y'all. And they thought I was bullshitting because I was like just some dude like working in this bar. And they thought I was full of shit. And I was like, no, I seriously, like, I started like them like undertows, like one of my favorite tracks. I'm like, oh, they're like, thank you so much. And it was wholly unsatisfying for me because they looked at me like, who the fuck is this person? And yeah, so
that sucks. It sucks.
Mixed reaction.
It sucks when you put yourself out there like that, especially if it was coming from your heart. Damn, Miles, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's all good. I've healed from it. I've healed from it. You know, mm-hmm. I've healed from it. Yeah.
It is a lesson in expecting, not expecting things back. Like sometimes I have to really check myself. I'm like, why am I saying this? Is it because I want them to, I'm expressing love right now, or is it because I'm intending to get something back and I don't want to do it to expect to get anything back?
Right. I like the other time, When I used to work in radio and I would meet rappers that I really liked, I would say like the deepest cut thing about them that I knew to try and establish my fan cred like off rip. Cause I didn't want to be like, hey man, respect. I really like what you do. I like met Ludacris. I'm like, there's two versions of Southern Hospitality. One of the instrumentals clearly has a different bass drum than some ones you heard on the radio. Why is that? And he's like, what? And I was like, never mind.
That
I gotta
is
go
not
here, man.
The way to go.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, man, I fucked that like- up.
That's
hey,
so
here's
funny.
Something that I noticed that you might not even know about your own work. So what's up? We're
but then he was
now,
like,
right?
No, he's like, yeah, he's like, Pharrell had two versions, and then we both decided we liked the other one better. And I was like, oh, thank you. Thank
you. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, but then his security was like, man, get this fucking dude out of here.
I love you.
Please, Luda.
All right. Well, the show is Dear Owen Wilson. Everybody needs to go check it out. Yeah. Blair, as always, such a pleasure having you, talking to you. Where can people find you, follow you, and all that good stuff?
Oh, my God. I just want to thank you for having me on. We're going into, like, I don't know, year three or four of this, of me being a guest. And it's just always such a pleasure and a joy every time.
Always a delight.
You can follow me at Blair Saki on Twitter and Instagram. And if any of you are interested, I have a breathwork class, online class, this coming Thursday. Would love to have you there. And also, I'm doing an hour on June 6th, stand-up comedy at the Elysian Theater in LA with Carmen Christopher and Greta Titelman, if you want to come.
Damn.
Yeah.
Love Greta. Love breath work. What kind of breath work are we doing? What you got going on?
It's not if you have bad breath, Jack.
Oh.
You can come if you have bad breath because it's just online. It will probably be good for it. Could probably expel some demons. It. No, what breath work is a physical active meditation. So a lot of times people, when they think of meditation, they're trying to silence their thoughts. And if they're not a regular meditator, it becomes a really frustrating experience. But with breath work, it's very physical breathing technique. So you're so in your body, you're sort of not even focused on your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people can access a lot of things deeper and be in their body in a way that they wouldn't be able to otherwise.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh my God, you guys, I laughed so hard at this tweet. I searched all over the internet for it this morning. I couldn't find it. But someone tweeted a picture of Michael Richards and said during his Laugh Factory, like, famous episode that got him canceled, and said, "Oh, crazy opener for Mulaney." And Mulaney, the craziest opener at the Mulaney show. And it made me laugh so hard, but shit. I forget who tweeted it. It was hilarious. God, it made me laugh hard.
Miles, where can people find you? What is the tweet you've been enjoying? As a reference, what didn't Chappelle open for Mulaney?
Yeah, in Ohio.
And, like, started dropping, like,
oh, it's it was from at a single father tweeted that. It just said, I'm at a John Mulaney show and the opener is kind of out of pocket.
I literally laughed out loud when I saw that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, my back. My back. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also check out the basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosies. We're speaking of fans meeting their favorite people. What we got to speak with Robert Horry last week of the Lakers, Big Shot Bob. And you can hear it in our voices. The excitement is through the roof.
It's also like the person I was is just like the best possible guest for that show, because like it's all about the show is all about people doing like otherworldly things that like you can't really explain. And like the fact that he was just always there hitting huge shots and just It's
and we're just like,
so interesting to talk to him. Yeah. But like, that's basically like, I've always wondered like, wait, what, how is he possible?
Right.
And he turns out to be like one of the nicest people. So it's a great episode. Go check it out.
That's so cool.
Let's see some tweets that I like. Also 420 Day Fiance. Check that one out too with Sophia Alexander. First one is from Molly Lambert at Molly Lambert tweeted, "We want grandchildren. Sorry, hope you like podcasts." It's very great. At Basu B tweeted, "Drinks Dr. Pepper, barbecue Sprite." And I was like, yes. Thank you put it all together for me. And then at Kinky Bandit tweeted, "Dasani water tastes like it's been sitting in a water gun."
Hey, that's my favorite bottled water, by the way.
I know, which is wild.
No, it can't be, Jack.
It is.
No, it can't be,
Jack. I don't know why. It's just always
bottled
like
water
tasted...
is drinking out of a water gun.
Yeah.
it's always tasted like water to me for some reason. So I just like wow. That. I've always just like had that like a cold Dasani for I there must be something wrong with me. It doesn't make any sense.
You're a masochist, Jack.
Yeah. I'm a sick fuck. I mean, I told you. Into Jordan and Dasani bottled water.
Get him out of here. But it is the genius of that tweet, though, is just taking the sensation that everyone knows, which is who among us, when your first water gun to go, what if I just started drinking shit out of here?
Yeah.
And then you're like, what the fuck is all this plastic and shit?
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Tim Barnes, this is just a good point. Ironically, COVID would be a better name for Zoom. I also really liked the barbecue Dr. Pepper barbecue Sprite. I also liked this from Hideo Noho. Oh. Just tweeted, "Yes today, Satan." I feel like I hadn't heard anyone say that, but sometimes
funny.
It is time to just say just yes to Satan.
Thank you.
And by the way, Hideo Noho is at Miles of Gray.
Oh shit, honor.
Yeah. Wow. You should check him out.
Yeah, there's an interesting thing about that tweet, actually, if I could just take a couple seconds.
Yeah, could you actually dig deep? Let's do it behind the music of that tweet.
How much time you got?
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. I think my voice just like entered into a carnival or like a what's that like an auctioneer. I think that was the closest my voice has ever come to being an auctioneer. Anyways, Miles, what is the song?
Oh yeah, hey, we got 25 here on Monday. We got a new group called Soccer 96 with a new track called Entanglement. This is a track called Entanglement from the group Soccer 96, which is a duo from the UK that it's like, you know, they're like one of these groups where it's very hard to put your finger on the genre, but they're clearly influenced by super interesting, like, people like Damo Suzuki, like, who's a frontman of Can, if you know that German prog band. But this track, Entanglement, it just sounds like, I don't know, like if a Teddy Ruxpin, like you put a weird tape in it, like a funky tape in it, and it got horny and was on LSD, this is what would be coming out the Teddy Ruxpin.
All right, I'm in.
That's how I feel. So that's, this is called Entanglement by Soccer 96.
And also, like, in addition to being really, you know, making this a really interesting song, are they finally giving up on the name and they're like telling the rest of Europe that it's soccer?
I don't know.
Not football.
I mean, I think because they're from London. London. It's like,
so that's ironic.
Yeah. They know it's weird to call it soccer.
Anyways, great vintage of Umbro 96. Some of my favorite Umbros that year. Yes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.